Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DAM Credit & Capital Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni from Equirus Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. A very good afternoon to everyone. I welcome everyone to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call of DAM Credit & Capital Limited. From management team, we have with us Mr. Jayanta Banik, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Saket Saraf, Chief Financial Officer. We will have opening remarks from the management team, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jayanta Banik, CEO of DAM Credit & Capital Limited. I am here to present on the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings. Thank you for joining us today for this earnings call of DAM Credit & Capital Limited. We sincerely appreciate the continued support and interest from our investors, analysts, and stakeholders. The third quarter and the nine-month period of FY26 marked a phase of strong acceleration for our company. Our performance reflects disciplined credit underwriting and digital lending operating efficiency and a sharp focus on the profitability without compromising the asset quality. DAM Credit & Capital Limited is, as you know, is an RBI-registered non-banking financial company and has a vintage of over 3 decades of lending experience. It is headquartered in Calcutta, and the company has built a strong foundation in retail and MSME lending by combining the analytics and driven out credit appraisal with the technology-enabled origination and collections. Our long-standing governance and standards and prudent risk culture remain central to our strategy. During Q3 of FY26, the company delivered a very powerful performance, financial performance. The income for this quarter stood at 1260.90 lakhs, and profit before tax is coming about 355.25 lakhs, and net profit is 252.07 lakhs. And we had a clock of earning per share quarterly, not annualized, at 1.77. Notably, the PAT margin is expanded to 20%, the highest for last 5 quarters, and this reflects a very strong and improved leverage and cost discipline. And for the 9 months ended in December 25, the performance was 35.62 lakhs, and profit before tax reached at 870 lakhs, and net profit stood at 704 lakhs, and earning per share comes about 5.27. Importantly, the 9-month PAT has already crossed the 85% of the full year 25 PAT, positioning us in a strongly to deliver the record annual profitability. We are sure to cross our estimate and in Q4, because the Q4, when we started in January, already disbursement and January data points are very, very encouraging, and we think that we should give a good show in Q4. Our loan book expansion remains responsible and calibrated. Collection efficiency continues to remain strong. While our digital transformation initiatives have reduced the turnaround time and cost to serve significantly, with CAR at 43.84, we remain very well capitalized to support our sustainable growth going forward. The broader credit environment continues to present meaningful opportunities, and particularly the retail and MSME segments. With stable cost to funds and disciplined risk management and digital underwriting capabilities, we believe we are in a well positioned to protect margin while pursuing the growth. As we enter the final quarter, we do so in a strong momentum. As I have already mentioned, the ample liquidity and the focused strategy aiming delivering the consistent high quality earnings. And I am now overing to our CFO, Sri Saket Saraf, to put some more light on the key facts of the company performance in this Q3.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Saket Saraf, CFO of Dark Credit and Capital Limited. So I am here to highlight some key facts about the financial statements. Like the total asset size of the company has crossed about 265 crore. Out of the total loan book has crossed around 200 crore, of which the borrowing amount is around 160 crore, and the GNPA percentage stood at 1.5% approximately, and the NNPA is less than 1%, that can be amounts to 0.96%, and there is assistance of the managed book comprising of around 11 crore. So the total comprehension of the loan book size, including the own books and the managed book, is totaling to 213 crore. Now I over to Mr. Jayanto, sir.
If we say the breakup of the loan portfolio, and loan portfolio out of 203, we had municipal loans, which is our niche product, which gives us 82 crores by volume. And unsecured MSME is around 70 crores. Secured portfolio is around 50. And managed portfolio is around 11 crores. So total, our loan book size is 230. And this is our present position. Thank you once again for joining us and for your continued trust in Dark Credit and Capital Limited. We will now open to the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Piyush from P3 Wealth Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A very good afternoon. The management has delivered an impressive 20% PAT margin this quarter. But however, I feel the ROE remains compressed at 7.5% despite a massive 43.84% CRAR. So I just wanted to know if the management is planning further fundraising via NCDs or via preferential allotment to meet the RBI deadline for the MOF.
I couldn't hear you properly.
So my question was that because the PAT margins are at are near to 20%, and the CRAR is at 43.84%.
Yes.
So the ratio is slightly unbalanced. So are you guys planning for a fundraising in the coming months or in the late 2026?
As per RBI guidelines, our minimum CAR requirement is 15%. But where we are standing at around 43%. So we are very capitalized per se. So not anything planned in the near future for fundraising. But if we require expand our base in coming future, then board will take a call on this. But not at this moment in FY26, we have any plan for any fundraising. We are well capitalized per se.
Okay. Okay. But if the intent is expansion, so do you think for the current leverage, the CRAR already provides a significant headroom for that growth? So you think
in that case we are issuing bonds in NCD in the market, in the listed NCD for fundraising, as well as we are tapping the PSU banks and the big NBFC for fundraising. And since the capital, our present net worth is around 100 crore plus, so if we take the leverage also, which is about 5:1, so we can borrow up to 500 crores, that's not an issue. At present, our borrowing is only 159 crores. So we had a big headroom for borrowing also. From the management side, new fundraising in FY26 is not in the cards.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kothari from Grit Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, you are audible.
Sir, first of all, congrats for the amazing result for December quarter. And happy to hear your positive comments for coming future as well. Can you please help me further understand about your plan for FY27? What sort of growth can we expect in the coming FY27? And just coming on to the previous question asked by my colleague, earlier colleague, FY27 growth can occur without any further equity fundraise?
Thank you for your wishes and your comments. FY27, we are expecting this Q4, we are expecting that our AUM will be closed around 235, because we are now at present 202. We thought that as part of our plan, we may add 30 to 35 crores in our AUM in Q4. And for FY27, our projected thing will be that our balance sheet assets will cross 300 crores plus. And our projected AUM will be 300. And borrowing will be somehow around 100 crores will be added in the borrowing. So we wish to maintain this PAT growth, and we are expecting a good growth in the PAT in 27, and EPS also we thought that it will increase by considerable amount. I cannot, since the working is on for the next year budget and all these things. So, this is on the cards, but what are the initial indications are there? Our MIS shows the projected MIS and all the things that we lined up in a AUM growth of around up to 300 crores in asset size by March 27. And the answer of the fresh equity, I have already expressed our views of management point of view that we are fairly capitalized and at present 100 crore plus net worth. So, and with only 159 crores borrowing, we had a big headroom for the new borrowings, which mainly come out from the PSU banks, which we have already pitched in for the fresh debt, and also from the listed entity, we have already raised a considerable amount in this financial year, and already and also had a plan of around 100 crore, 100 to 125 crores NCD bonds in the coming years. So this will give us the ample funding for growth. And we had a big plan for expanding in Bihar, Jharkhand and Rajasthan. So for the secured and unsecured MSME lending is concerned, because the priority we are in the favor of secured lending, secured MSME lending, that is micro LAP. New branches are expected in Bihar, Jharkhand and Rajasthan for this MSME business. This will give the, we feel that this will give yield a good result and boost the performance of the company.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your elaborate explanation and happy to hear the availability of ample liquidity for growth coming forward. So just one more thing, somewhere in earlier presentations, I guess I have seen a number of a guidance of around 18 crore or 19 crore PAT for FY27. I don't want any confirmation, but is that guidance near to our management expectation?
Sir, it may be because so we are already in the lines of in the good line because we are in the good track of achieving that in the current year, and hope we expect to same achieve in the FY27 also. Because we are in the track of achieving, because even the margins which we have achieved in the January and the now what we are heading currently, so that will get boost that and give that profitability margin. We hope that.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for my end.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask question, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Jay Chaitramani from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the pretty interesting results today. And good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, so I would like to ask that which loan segments were there? For example, the municipal or unsecured MSME, secured MSME, that contributed most to this incremental growth in FY26?
After, from the opening of this FY26, we had a detailed discussion, so taking into the consideration the market environment and the data points of the negative and positive results of the various products in the market. We thought that the two products will be our prime focus. First of all, our niche product, that is the personal loan to the municipal employee, and next one is secured MSME. And you can see, if you see the growth rate of these two products are phenomenal. And in FY25, we closed the FY25 in loan to municipal employees around 76.5 crores, which at present now 82.5 crores. So you can find that there is a considerable growth in this segment. And another one, which is now really, really our prime focus area, is the secured MSME loans, that is micro LAP, and which has also gone a good growth in from FY25 until now. In FY25, it was around 30 crores, and as now it was around 50 crores. So already in these 9 months, we had an increase incremental in this area around 20 crores. So this shows that there is a clear message to everybody, to the to all my audience, that the company's pure focus in basically these two segments, secured MSME and loans to municipal employees, because these two loans are really, really sustainable, and these two loans shows a very, very minimal NPA percentage, delinquency percentage, but at present, but by side by side, we also cannot rule out unsecured MSME loans also, which also had an increment, but not that level, because it's only, we could have added only 7 to 8 crores in this segment. So, these two are the prime focus.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. And actually, I was also coming on to the on this point only of secured MSME loans. So, sir,
yeah.
The next thing will be so secured MSME loans have scaled sharply versus FY24. So, what is driving this shift in portfolio mix?
Sorry. Again, come back.
Yeah. My question is: see, secured MSME loans have scaled sharply versus FY24. Okay. So, what is driving this shift in portfolio mix?
Portfolio mix means?
So what are the drivers of this mix?
The driver for this secured growth is we already planned our, we aligned our branches, because when we opened the new branches, we opened the branches with the focusing those employees who are really have the skill to do this type of business. So we hired people with quick qualities who can sell this product, and also we have exclusive branches for this secured portfolio. Apart from that, our branches where we are doing the unsecured lending, there also we isolated, or you can say we segregated our employees into secured and unsecured part. That means a bunch of employees who are doing the unsecured lending business, doing the sourcing, they are not doing the secured sourcing. So in that way, we planned this secured lending growth. We ensured the secured lending growth in that fashion. That means we had a set of people who are having skills of sourcing these sort of products only. Right? So these are the basically driver for this, because in the current scenario where the microfinance loans are struggling, unsecured loans are struggling for recovery, we didn't face any hardship in collecting our funds, our EMI in this segment, which is reflected in our this collection efficiency percentage.
Even the new recruitments which we are currently heading to is from the secured business only, and from the secured financial services we are engaging these employees, so that we can onboard them and give a new growth to this new vertical. Okay.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, apart from this, what is the customer acquisition trend currently, and how is ticket size evolving across segments?
So, customer acquisition trend is for unsecured, it is not that high growth rate, but for secured part, it's good. And if you see the quantum trend is for unsecured, we had starting it from 10,000 to 2 lakhs and max 3 lakhs. So, and for secured, it starts from 50,000 and it go up to 5 lakhs. and in certain cases, with the permission of the committee, sanction committee, it may go up to 6 and 6.5.
Okay. So that was all for ticket sizing and all, correct?
Yes.
And sir, what steps are being taken to reduce the average cost of borrowing, which are currently approximately 13%?
The reason for the decrease in the overall cost of borrowing is the introduction of the LCD, basically what we have done recently. We have come out recently with two LCDs of around 20 CR up to December, of which the coupon rate was around 12 to 12.5%, which takes amounts to lesser than the bank borrowings, which comes around to 12-13%. So that gives a quite reduction in the overall cost of borrowing.
And in the previous year, if you see, the rate was in borrowing rate was a bit high. Cost of funds was a bit high since this NCD route was not there, and a fresh capital introduction in this year from the IPO route gives the cost of borrowing checks the cost of borrowing growth, and our pack size also increased due to that only. The effect of this pumping of 25 crores equity already starts showing the result of the increase in the patch.
Okay. And sir, are you seeing any kind of stress in specific geographies or something around the borrower segment? And any stresses?
Sorry, couldn't understand.
So my question is, are you seeing any kind of stress in a specific geography or some borrower segment?
Geographical segments, the segment we are operating and the borrowers we are catering are not that sort of microfinance per se borrowers, who are really in the trouble for repaying the loan. But see, our borrower segment is basically the established small business shops who had a visible income generating activity, not like microfinance per se. And our total underwriting process was such mixture of digital and personal touch, so that we choose a borrower in a very, very scaled manner with a scoring approach, with a digital scoring approach, with a manual intervention with the PD. We had a 2-3 types of PD to a borrower before we take a call to loan the loans to that borrower or not. So the KYC verification is completely digitalized. Their income activity and income assessment is completely digitalized. So all these tests. When passed, then we admitted that borrower in our portfolio, and we give the loan. So we don't find any sort of difficulty in this sourcing and sourcing this sort of borrower. And you can see our collection efficiency is already it's very good, and due to its that sourcing part on point only.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so just going back once at the secured MSME loans part, so this rapid growth in those secured MSME loans, has the risk profile changed by any means? Yes, please. Yes, profile.
risk profile. Risk profiling of the segment C, when we are moving to the tier 4, tier 5 cities, in these areas, when we are talking about the risk secured loans, in this type of borrowers, the property is playing a very big mindful game for them. So, the risk associated with this sort of borrowers got mitigated for this type of sentiments to their attachment to their property, and EMI is coming very smoothly. This is one sort of mindful game, mind game we are playing with them. We are playing while this sort of mortgaging the property, mortgaging the assets, mortgaging their mortgaging all their other property, other assets. And also when we are attaching all the borrowers in that, all the members of the family of the borrowers in our loan, per se, as a guarantor or as a co-applicant, this also gives the mental, mental blockage to that person and keeps them to be in this repay the loan on time. And this basically a one mindful game we are playing. We are associated with playing with this borrowers, and it is associated with the loan product. This is one thought, and another thought is that since we are giving to the only income generating activities to those borrowers, at least the income generating part of those borrowers, so that risk assessment associated got mitigated primarily, and we feel that in secure loans the risk profiling is low, very low. So that, in comparison to the unsecured part.
Okay. That was nice to hear. And so thank you so much for the information. Just last couple of questions from my side. Yeah, so how does the management view the optimal product mix over the upcoming 2 to 3 years or 4 years maybe?
Optimal product mix will be your secured loan will be the higher. Say almost 35 to 40% will be the secured, and your unsecured will be around 30, and balance remaining will be the personal loan will be 35, and it will be 35, 25, and 40.
Okay. And sir, last one, what is the provisioning buffer strategy going forward? Any buffer strategy provisioning?
So we are right now what the provision has been done in the books, I think so it's almost totally as per the what we had. Basically we have made the enough provisions, and the company has made the sufficient provisions which is required. So for the upcoming year, if any provision is required, so management will take the decision as per the.
And there is no other
provision.
No.
And so there is no other issues with the provisioning. So as per the requirement, management will make the decision.
Okay, so that was it from my side. Thank you so much for all the information, and once again, congratulations on the growth in results. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Shukla, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Okay, yeah. So can you elaborate on how you differentiate lending model helps you access customer segment that remain underserved by traditional banks?
Can you please again repeat? I couldn't hear you properly.
So can you elaborate how your differentiate lending model helps you access customer segment that remain underserved by traditional banks?
Okay. When we designed our product, and we designed it in such a manner that we will start those segments who are just graduated from microfinance level, but not to the bankable level. That means the microfinance is already been matured for almost 20 years right now, till now. So there is a natural graduation of the borrowers from the microfinance to non-microfinance. That means their income level, annual income level, has crossed the 3 lakhs, 3 lakhs per annum. But it's not that much incremental, which the banking sector is welcome them to allow the loan or credit line on a very smooth note. So we tapped those segments and having a visible income generating activity. That means these segments are not served by the bank, microfinance sector for their inherent criteria, and also by the banking sector for their requirement of too much of documentation and other activities. So we tapped this segment, and we are fairly in a good position to target, to source this sort of target borrowers, and they really need funds for keep their growth momentum. And we are still such time we are really successful in getting this sort of borrowers in our team, in our
even in our portfolio, the personal loan segment, loans to the municipal safai karamchari. See, like you must be knowing, the municipal safai karamcharis are not welcomed by the bank, and these karamcharis or these sweeper class post they deploy generally doesn't have that mindset to maintain those kind of documents which the bank has the requirement, and even the bank also does not welcome those customers also. So these sweepers always give the inclination towards us, and we maintain those personal touch with those borrowers so that they give the direct inclination and they give their salary as a rent to them, so that their EMI got deducted from their salary and come directly to us. So they will tie their salary to the air.
Okay, so sir, what percentage of your portfolio comes from first-time formal borrowers?
Portfolio, see, our total out of 202 crores, 82 crores coming up from this segment, personal loan segment, and which is around your around 40%. And secured portfolio and remaining are the MSME loans, which I have already explained that these are the graduated members from the microfinance to non-microfinance, and the remaining 60% is coming out from that segment.
Okay, understood. And sir, what structural advantage does company have in sourcing borrowers compared to large NBFCs and fintech lenders?
See, we had a personal touch banking sort of thing. As we move our, we source our clients through door-to-door campaigning from our branches. Our branch employees move from in a market and campaign through door to door with their pamphlets and talking to them and establish a relationship with them so that their financial needs they can express and we can guide them in that area, in that line. This is basically our sourcing model. And for personal loan segment, it is since it's a 25 years vintage product of Dark Credit,
we know almost all, we are in touch with all the employees who are in links with Safai Karmachari and sweepers of the various municipalities. We almost work with 200 plus municipalities in this product, within this product. And we had an established connection with them for sourcing of this, sourcing of burgers in this product is also not a very critical job for us.
So sir, can you quantify sourcing efficiency with a metric investor should track?
Sourcing efficiency, if we say, it varies because the requirement generation also depends upon the seasonal requirements, and it's not a flattened thing. The graph always ups and downs. So before 3 months of any festival times, the sourcing is very high, but it gradually goes down when the rainy season sets in. So it's a varied sourcing pattern, varied successful sourcing pattern. But if we say we contacted the 10 source, if our employee contacted 10 borrowers in a day, almost 30 to 40% got the success rate, and balance remaining the data point we have, and we can also tap them within the next 3 to 4 months. But initial success rate comes about 30% around per day basis.
Okay, understood. Sir, are there plans to introduce any new products or financial service?
No, not now, because these products are really, really good products. We not at present any thought process of changing any product or adding any product right now.
Okay, and sir, regarding this AI technology, any underwriting efficiency and turnaround time?
Our underwriting efficiency and turnaround time, our software is in-house developed, and we had a team with us, third-party vendor, who does all the, who gives us the 24/7 helpline to our employees for this purpose. And we are coming up with a complete finance fintech complete app based solution of our own product, such that all the employees can do the all the entries in the system from sitting in the borrower's point only, and complete things which is coming up very fast, and already the app is under trial run, and it will be go live very soon, and that's it. We don't feel that we need AI in this area. Because we, in our theory or thought process, we say, we feel and we experience that personal touch with the borrowers is a very key process, a very key thing for our high collection rate and low NPA rate for us.
And we believe to be the traditional finance.
Yeah, we believe to be the traditional finance.
To cater these type of borrowers, because these borrowers are not the new age borrowers. They are getting the old age borrowers. So they have the mindset to give them the personal touch and to correct the EMIs on the time.
And we always help them in our own needs for any sort of needs they face. Our employees are there to help them out for any other needs. We usually help them in other areas also, as soon as they...
Even our borrowers, we help the borrowers to come out with their financial disability, maybe whatever fault they have, any kind of default or... So we train those borrowers also. So without the personal touch or with the
only on the app base or the tech base, we cannot come out of that. We cannot come out that of AI. We cannot come out of that AI base only.
Right.
So we have the mindset of the traditional finance. What we have been doing till now.
Got it, sir. So my last question is what milestone should investors track over the next 12 to 14 months?
Milestone means what? What's the question exactly?
What milestone should investors track over the next 12 to 14 months?
Our next milestone is that we will cross 300 marks by FY27. This is the milestone we taking for ourselves and informing you that we will end up this FY26 around 30-35, and we will cross 300 marks by FY27. This is the short. This is the goal we setting for ourselves. And for that reason, we are expanding in Bihar, Jharkhand, and Rajasthan in this area. This is the prime target for us.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That is for my side.
Thank you.
We'll take the last question from the line of Gautam Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yeah. Thank you. You're audible.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir, for the results. So, my first question is, what proportions of growth is coming from existing customers versus new acquisitions?
We are seeing a dropout of around 40% in our cases. And these dropouts are basically higher leverage because we took some steps to get rid of those customers who are leveraged more. And setting up the fire at 50%, if they cross the fire 50%, that we are not repeating those customers. So basically you can say the 40% is the repeat and the 60% is the new acquisition.
Okay, sir. And the last question is, what level of disbursement growth is sustainable without impacting asset quality?
What sort of which growth?
Sir, disbursement growth.
Disbursement growth. We disbursement growth also depends upon how the market behaves, because we had an always internal forecasting pattern within ourselves. We forecast how the disbursement will be in the next quarter. In that way, we control our disbursement. But so far as the complete goal target set for us, that we will be landed up the 230 to 235 crores by Q4 and by 300 plus by March 27, and an average disbursement plan is from 14 to 15 crores per month, which was the this was set for us internally within the team.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni for closing comments. Over to you.
On behalf of Dar Credit and Capital Limited and Equibridge Advisors, I thank everyone for taking time to join today's earnings call. If you have any queries, you can connect to us at info@equibridgex.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
On behalf of Equibridgex Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you can now disconnect your line.
Thank you.